heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by Subway. The Reuben is back for a limited time at Subway. Savory corned beef, crunchy sauerkraut, melty Swiss, creamy Thousand Island dressing, toasted rye. Subway. So much Reuben. Welcome into the National Defense. Nate Herron in the studio here. We hope that you had a great Christmas holiday or are gearing up for a very happy new year. We thought we'd take this opportunity to look back at some of our favorite interviews from 2017. We've had some great guests. We had President Bush on. We're going to have him on in just a moment. Television host Mike Rowe. We were thrilled to welcome documentarian Ken Burns talking about his new PBS series about Vietnam and lots more. So wherever you are, thanks for being a part of the National Defense. Make sure to check out our website at thenationaldefense.com. Let us know if you've got an idea for a topic or a show. So without further ado, let's get into the show. Happy New Year. May 2018 be wonderful for you and yours. Thanks.
This is exciting. Mike Rowe is a big fan of Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe has been... just about everything. He's done about everything, been about everywhere. You may know him from his hit TV show on the Discovery Channel, Dirty Jobs. Mike Rowe joins us here in the National Defense. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Randy. Thanks. How you doing?
Man, I'll tell you what. You know, you are, if there's ever a definition of a cobbler, it's you. I mean, you got so much going on and have your entire life, right? I mean, from opera to QVC to Dirty Jobs and narration, you've just about done it all.
Well, it's a very kind way of saying that I really can't hold a job. And, the evidence demands a verdict, and I am guilty as charged.
You know, I was checking out your website, microbe.com, and there's a great podcast you do every Tuesday that is it's called The Way I Heard It. New episodes every mm-hmm. Tuesday. I just listened to the latest episode called Render Unto Caesar. I mean, it's a little bit, it kind of reminds me of the classic Paul Harvey, The Rest of the Story. But it's a cool way to tell a story. And what got you into that?
Well, you ask and answered. It was Paul Harvey.
Oh, really?
For years, like in the 80s, late 70s, growing up in Baltimore, I'd be driving around town, listening to the radio, and Paul Harvey would come on with, he used to call it The Rest of the Story.
Right.
And these were five-minute mysteries served up through the lens of biography or history. And I can't tell you how many times in my car I would wind up getting to wherever it was I was going, but unable to get out of the car until I heard Paul Harvey, say, and now you've heard the rest of the story.
So, same here.
Yeah. I mean, so that's it. You know, biography and history, they take it in the neck these days. It's a tough sell. But I thought, if I can make them mysteries and write them myself and try and make them a little subversive, who knows, maybe there's an audience. And we had 50 million downloads last year, which is good. So I'm doing more.
And yes, I did sign up for Blue Apron. I mean, you got some great sponsors on this thing, and you do such a good job. I mean, I think that's part of your talent, your ability, your gift is to sound so natural, no matter whether you're telling a story, relating some kind of a sponsorship message. But you do such a good job with that. And you know, we're talking to Mike Rowe here in the National Defense. How come you never got into radio? I mean, you've done everything with your voice except for radio.
In college, I did half a semester of it, and I would have done a lot more, and I liked it. I liked it fine, but somebody came over and said, hey, would you do a stand-up on the local news station for a thing? And I thought, well, look, if I can get away with being on TV, I might as well do that until I can't get away with it anymore.
Right.
So, nothing bad to say about radio.
Yeah.
I just sort of, put my finger in the air and figured out which way the wind was blowing. And,
yeah, no,
you went that way.
You were smart. You found out early. There's things you can make money with, or there's a radio. hey, let's talk about what you've been a friend of veterans for a long time, and especially through the Mike Rowe Works Foundation, the profoundly disconnected campaign. In fact, I got to tell you, you're one of the first guys, and maybe the only guy I've ever heard say this that makes so much sense about veterans transitioning out, that there's a boot camp for going into the military, but nothing for coming out. You just made such a great career of that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, sure. I mean, for me personally, it's always been about the reverse commute. It's been about figuring out a way to work in television where I could be a guest instead of a host, an amateur instead of an expert, an apprentice instead of a master. That's my whole thing. And I was doing the 130 job. I wanted to do something special. And I went to Fort Jackson and worked with the guys in the fixed wheel battalion. These are basically the best mechanics in the Army.
Right.
And it was one of the guys there who actually told me, he said, you know, the hardest thing is, you know, watching these men and women come back who are highly trained, very skilled, but just not quite ready to immediately assimilate. You know, I mean, it's hard to come back from a place where people are shooting at you and suddenly find yourself sitting across from an HR professional who has absolutely, you know, nothing in common with your experience.
Right.
And so, you know, the more I thought about it, I do a lot of work with the Marine Corps here in San Francisco. I was talking to the general over there, and he said, Mike, if you really want a story, you know, look at the unemployment rates. This is back in 2009. But look at the unemployment rates for recently separated service people compared to the national average. And I did, and it is scandalous. It's typically twice as high all the time. And back then, unemployment was, you know, 9%. So you had 22% of vets coming back who couldn't assimilate, couldn't find work. And so, yeah, that's when I took the little foundation that I run and said, maybe we'd be better served figuring out a way to take these people who already have the skills that are such in demand, as well as the soft skills. You know, typically a vet understands, you know, you show up on time, you stay late, you tuck your shirt in, don't answer a phone call during an interview, all that basic stuff.
Right, right.
All that's in place. And so, yeah, it's not the only thing we do, but it is something that's important to me because, you know, I kind of feel like we owe it to them.
Yeah, you know, and just to kind of underscore that, I was talking to a veteran the other day that, you know, he same kind of thing. You know, he comes out, he was driving tanks and driving trucks in a military and shows up for a job as a truck driver. And the guy asked him, said, can we trust you with this equipment? And he says, well, I mean, I've been in charge of, you know, $25 million tanks. I think I could maybe handle one of these. But you know, you were also, Mike, it just seems so commonsensical about the trade schools. You know, you've always been a big proponent for trades as opposed to, or maybe instead of a regular classical college education. But it makes so much sense because they've already got that training. All they need is sometimes the certification.
I think part of the problem that we've fallen into collectively is this idea, this cookie-cutter approach with respect to education. And parents are really guilty of this, you know, and understandably, we want what's best for our kids, and we don't know what's best for our kids. Yeah. So somebody has come along and told us, look, here's what's best, a four-year degree. Now, it also is true that that path is the most expensive path.
Yeah.
And so what's happened is we've promoted one form of education at the expense of all the others. And my message isn't that a liberal arts degree is bad or a four-year degree is bad. I've got one, and it served me well. But in 1984, when I matriculated, my total cost, both for a two-year community college and a university, was $12,500. Hmm. Today, it's $84,000.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just too damn expensive for too many people. And because we just keep leaning on this one particular path, at the expense of the others, we've got a skills gap now. We've got 6 million jobs that currently exist. 75% of them don't require a four-year degree. They require training. In so many cases, vets have that training baked in, along with a work ethic that most companies are craving. So it's not a mystery. It's just really a question of connecting the dots. And I don't know why more people don't talk about it or more people don't do it. I suspect there's money involved or politics or power or something. But I'm not running for anything.
Right.
I'm just sitting back and watching. And to me, it's self-evident.
But, you know, that's how it used to be. I know when I was growing up, everybody wanted a skill. Everybody wanted a trade. And I don't know when all of that went away, but I just saw over the weekend, I went to see that movie with Will Ferrell called The House.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about, you know, how they turned his house into a casino to pay for their daughter's college education. And I told my wife, I said, that's where we are. I mean, you got to think of something like that. You know, $50,000 a year to go to Bucknell. Hey, Mike, just a second. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here with Mike Rowe on the National Defense.
How do you thank the millions of men and women who have fought so bravely for our country over the years? At the Home Depot, we think it takes more than words. We believe the best way to show gratitude is to do gratitude. The Home Depot Foundation is committed to veterans and their families, improving their homes and their lives. Since 2011, we've invested $160 million to veteran causes and impacted over 26,000 veteran homes. By 2020, we'll grow that investment to $250 million. From simple wheelchair ramps to complete home makeovers, transitional housing, community support, we consider it a duty and a privilege to serve senior, wounded, and homeless veterans the best ways we know how. After all they've given us, it's the least we could do. $250 million by 2020. Doing more for veterans. Doing gratitude. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
Home is not just something you can see or touch. Home is a feeling. It's the place where you feel safe to have those little moments that mean everything. At ADT, we believe that feeling should always be there. Whether it's at your house or your business, we help keep you safe so you can have those moments that make you feel at home. Wherever you are.
The Reuben is back at Subway with hot corned beef. Love that beef. Melted Swiss, gotta have cheese and sauerkraut. Woo! Thousand Island so creamy, all on freshly baked rye. Oh my, it's all toasted and delicious. Mmm. So wrap it up. I'll take it. No, I don't need a receipt. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Oh, can I get chips and a drink? The Reuben is back for a limited time at Subway. So much Reuben.
50 years ago.
We built up to this war for some time.
When their country was coming apart.
The political climate was just absolutely crazy.
They stuck together.
You just really wanted to do what you could. Help win the war and get out of there.
And served a country.
I did a lot of growing up in that 4 years.
That wanted to forget them.
When we become engaged in these wars that are political, we did not learn the lesson of Vietnam.
The time has come.
Today that hurts, because I did lose a couple friends.
To remember.
You know, war's not easy, war's not kind. You know, it hurts a lot of people.
Remembering Vietnam, a National Archives 50th Anniversary exhibit and initiative. Learn more at archivesfoundation.org.
It's a tough experience.
This is the National Defense.
Yeah. Well, look, these are the dots I'm talking about. If you really step back and just put the broad issues on the table, under the education column, you've got $1.3 trillion of student loans currently on the books. $1.3 trillion. Over on the employment side, you've got record high numbers of 4-year degree holders not working in their chosen field or not working at all.
At all.
That's got nothing to do with the unemployment number, but it's a really interesting stat. It just because it goes right to the heart of what you paid for, what you borrowed for, what you majored in. What does that translate to? And never before has the correlation between what you studied and what you're doing been so low. And then in the third column, I just call it the opportunity column, you have jobs not that are waiting to be created or brought back into the country. That's politically expedient
right.
and fun to talk about. But talk about jobs that actually exist, 6 million of them. So if you look at those three things altogether, you don't have to be a genius to conclude that we're still lending money we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
The kids who are never going to be able to pay it back, to train them for careers that don't exist anymore. And that's crazy.
Well, you know, and the term underemployed comes up a lot now with veterans, where because when the new trend came out a few years ago that companies would step up and either voluntarily or because they were forced to say, we're going to give all these jobs to veterans. We're going to give 100,000 jobs to veterans. Well, they never say what those jobs are. And so, you know, when a veteran comes out and he becomes a checker or he's selling burgers or whatever, hey, we checked our box. The veteran's got a
That's
job.
Right.
And so then you get the term underemployed, which isn't reported on a lot. But, I mean, like you say, this is somebody with a skill set that would demand 10 times what they're making. They just got to find a way to get there.
Yeah, you know, it's tricky for me because part of where I come from is I understand what underemployment is, and I completely support the idea of getting people working in a way that is more aligned with the skill set that they have.
Right.
But I think what's happened, Randy, is with regard to underemployment, it's become another very subtle, clever, and oftentimes unintentional way of maligning work and opportunity overall.
You know, you've always stood up for people who don't have the means to stand up for themselves. And I thank you so much for that and everything that you've done for veterans. Mike Rowe, fantastic. MikeRowe.com is where you need to go to check out all of the activity of this cobbler and the podcast. Mike, thanks for the time, man. I really appreciate it, and good luck in everything.
Randy, it's my pleasure. Have me back anytime. I'm around, and I appreciate what you're doing.
And that's the rest of the story.
There you go.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
All right, it's Ford F-150 Radio. Today we're talking how Ford, the official truck of the NFL, once again has the awesome job of recognizing the Built Ford Tough Offensive Line of the Week. Marty, go.
Hi, Mirhawk in high school, the Purple Panthers, 1989.
Say what?
Now that was an offensive line. Me, Jimmy, Dwayne, Kiko, Melvin, Mount Everest.
This is the big time, buddy. And each week, Ford F-150 salutes the NFL O-line that outperforms all the others.
But they don't have the camaraderie us guys had.
Yeah, Built Ford Tough NFL offensive lines of the week have camaraderie, Marty. They're finely tuned machines, like the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar.
I remember the big game. State semis, our QB calls out naked potato mouthwash.
Okay, listen.
A lot of people think that was the night I earned my All-Tri-County honorable mention. A lot of people!
Oops, Marty must have gone through a tunnel. Go to NFL.com and follow NFL analyst and former Pro Bowl center Sean O'Hara as he picks the Built Ford Tough offensive line of the week.
Home is not just something you can see or touch. Home is a feeling. It's the place where you feel safe to have those little moments that mean everything. At ADT, we believe that feeling should always be there. Whether it's at your house or your business, we help keep you safe so you can have those moments that make you feel at home. Wherever you are.
The Reuben is back at Subway with hot corned beef. Love that beef. Melted Swiss, gotta have cheese and sauerkraut. Woo! Thousand Island so creamy, all on freshly baked rye. Oh my, it's all toasted and delicious. Mmm. So wrap it up. I'll take it. No, I don't need a receipt. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Oh, can I get chips and a drink?
The Reuben is back for limited time at Subway. So much Reuben.
This is the National Defense.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and in our new series, The Upcoming Artists of America, we got a guy that you might know, 43rd President of the United States, President George W. Bush. Mr. President, how are you?
Hey, Randy. I'm doing great today. And you?
Great. Thank you so much for the time.
I am honored to be known as an upcoming artist.
Listen, I didn't realize until I read the book, Portraits of Courage, and this is so good. It's a Commander-in-Chief's tribute to America's warriors, and I didn't realize how much you got into this painting now, and I guess it all started from a book you read about Winston Churchill?
Yeah, that's right. I'm a big admirer of Churchill. I loved his leadership style, his humor, his grasp of the English language, and I realized he was a painter as well, and it inspired me to take up the hobby.
You say it's a hobby, but don't you do this 2 or 3 hours a day now?
I do, yeah. It's. I guess it's more than a hobby.
It's an obsession.
Obsession is one way to describe it. I really am interested in becoming as good a painter as I possibly can become before I can't hold a brush. And to this end, for example, one of my instructors is coming by the house, and we'll paint for 3 or 4 hours a day.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it has to be, a lot of people, when they're starting out as an artist, to get some instruction, when the president or the former president calls and says, hey, can you come by, you got an edge up there, don't you?
Well, I'm fortunate to have had 3 great instructors, 2 of whom are still active in my life. And yes, I'm really pleased they decided to come over. I built a little studio in the house, so they come by the house, we'll have lunch and talk about art, and then I'll paint some.
That's great. That is so good. And this book, I got to tell you, it's very rare that, we'll get some news about a book that highlights the positive accomplishments of our nation's heroes. So,
yeah.
I mean, to that end, I just thank you so much for spotlighting these men and women that you feature in the book, and all of whom you've met personally. And I got to tell you, I mean, I enjoyed the portraits, but I almost enjoyed the stories better, and you wrote all the stories.
I did. Yeah, I've gotten to know these vets, some better than others, through our mountain biking and golf. And I stay in touch with a lot of them. And, you know, a lot of them are, it's like there's a veterans alumni group now. And they talk amongst each other. And it's very important in dealing with the invisible wounds of war, Randy,
sure.
Because what we've discovered, and you know as well, is that the stigma of an invisible wound is very difficult for a lot of these vets. It's difficult for them to talk about it. So in the book, there are numerous stories about vets who, you know, kept their problems inside, and as a result, their situations got worse. But when they started talking about it publicly, particularly to their fellow vets, that their situations improved. And so the purpose of the book was to really talk about each veteran and to perhaps provide a roadmap for other veterans who are dealing with the invisible wounds of war.
Well, and we know well here on the program that there's nothing better than tackling that issue than when you put vets together with other vets and they, open
yeah.
up those relationships. I love the story about Chris Self. Chris Self is the first veteran you talk about in the book, and it's great. He's a sergeant. And that's the other thing I loved about the book, Mr. President, was the fact it's not just colonels and generals and majors. I mean, these are staff sergeants. These are really regular people that have been heroic through their actions. And so,
yeah. Well, it's interesting you met Self. He's the reason why I started riding mountain bikes with vets. You know, I ran into him at BAMC in San Antonio, and he was getting a prosthetic fit for his leg so he could mountain bike better. And I said, you know how to ride? And he said, yeah. And I said, why don't you come to the ranch? And
special,
he did.
Special Forces amputee, right?
Right. Been twice in combat on one leg. Still a very dear friend. and one great athlete. I mean, this guy's a fabulous biker.
Well, you said you invited him to the ranch and he rode you in the ground with one leg.
He did. And he still rides me in the ground with one leg. And so I stay in touch with Chris, and you know, I had a 70th birthday party, and I told Laura the only thing I really wanted was to ride with the vets.
Wow.
And you know, a bunch of them came down, many of them in this book, and you know, and so we stay in touch and have a great relationship. The key thing, though, is to draw attention to this wellness alliance we've developed. You know, one of the messages from the books is courageous to talk about the invisible wounds.
Right.
And if they want help, they can go to bushcenter.org. And look at the Wellness Alliance that not only can hook them up with peer-to-peer counseling groups that are effective, but also to clinics that are effective in helping them deal with their invisible wounds.
Well, I wanted to ask,
The other thing we do that's really important is a vet roadmap that they can find at bushcenter.org as well to help them with employment.
Well, and that's what I loved. I wanted to bring that up, the Warrior Wellness Providers that you do. And this is a brand new feature of the Bush Center, right, in terms of this program?
Yes, it is. It's one of the, you know, we focus on leadership a lot. And one of the things that the country's got to understand is that these men and women have got a PhD in life at a relatively young age and have learned leadership skills, and if helped with transition, will be the leaders for the country in the future.
Yeah, and I love the resources you put there. In fact, Team Rubicon is a group that we feature on the program a lot, a big partner of the Home Depot Foundation. And,
yeah, they're great.
I mean, they are fantastic. What a great idea, right? I mean, what a simple idea. You take men and women who have served in combat and you put them together with crisis management people and you bring them in because they know how to do everything.
Yeah, that's right. And they're unbelievably skilled people. And the other thing that's very important about Team Rubicon and others is that they get to relate to fellow vets. And so you take a person who's troubled, for example, by the invisible wounds, and he's helping another citizen somewhere in the world side by side with a vet who's been through what he's been through. And it gives him a chance to talk about it. And this vet will say, you know, I got great help from, say, the Cohen Veterans Network. You ought to look at it. And so what we've done in this website, and it is an ongoing process, by the way, is to create a very strong wellness alliance. And we're working, by the way, with the VA as well. The head of the VA recognizes that there's some shortcomings in the VA, and he wants to improve service to the vets. And so this is a collaborative effort, and we're uniquely positioned to be able to draw attention to and to rally different forces to come together for a common good.
You know, you mentioned the VA. We're talking to President George W. Bush, and you mentioned the VA, Mr. President. We've had Bob McDonald on the program several times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an interesting thing because it's I can't imagine a tougher job.
I agree.
It may be president, but, I mean, these guys, these people that are in charge of the VA, they all want to do good work. I mean, it's just a tough job, and there's a lot of criticism, but we recognize, at least on this program, that they want to do the very best for veterans. And
no question about it. And so does the current VA head feels the same way. And yeah, I mean, look, this is a giant sprawling bureaucracy, and
right.
So there's going to be you know, successes and failures, and the failures get amplified, which is fine. We just believe that the effort there is a public-private effort that'll
right.
make it work for the vets. First of all, it starts with the vets wanting help themselves.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you talk about that stigma. President George W. Bush is our guest here on the National Defense, the new book, Portraits of Courage. Can you talk a little bit about the guy that is in the book that came to you and said, would you sign, would you autograph my tattoo?
Yeah. Valdez. Yeah. He is a, he came to us as a result of Rod Rodriguez, who is on the cover of the book with the prosthetic kind of blue-green eye. And Valdez is a tough soldier.
Yeah.
And we had ridden mountain bikes. And he said, would you sign my tattoo? And I kind of, you know, hey, Valdez, this is kind of a strange request. He said, sign it. And I did. And he immediately went down to Waco to the tattoo parlor and got my signature tattooed on his tattoo.
So he's got a tattoo over the tattoo of the signature. That's fantastic.
Which really was a huge honor in my mind. And so when I painted him, I painted, made sure the tattoo with my signature on it.
That's great.
Was on the painting.
You know, this is the first book I've seen that I've had in a long time, Mr. President, that has a centerfold.
Yeah. Yeah, not X-rated.
No. But it's a mural of all of these different veterans that you've painted, and it's fantastic.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm very pleased with how it came out. The book publisher did a fabulous job of photographing these paintings. And so at the Bush Center on the SMU campus, we have this exhibit up, and it's getting well attended. And at the centerpiece is this mural of faces. Three of the faces I repeated on larger canvases, but the other, 30-some-odd faces are distinct. And I liked it because it reflected really our country, the different backgrounds, different,
right.
Ethnic groups, men and women. And I tried to paint it so that the uniforms were fairly uniform. It reminded people that these are people who volunteered to serve something greater than their own individual selves.
You know, and Mr. President, the book, the Bush Center, the exhibit, the Warrior Wellness Providers. Why do you do all that? You don't have to be doing that. I mean, you could just be riding your mountain bike and, painting.
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
Well, it's not in my nature to sit idle. And so obviously in the post-presidency, one of the challenges is how do you make yourself useful without being, disrupting the system or undermining the office of president. And so, as a result of some of the tough decisions I made, mainly putting people into combat, I decided that I wanted to honor them and help them as best I can for the rest of my life. I've got a lot of passions, but this is one of the highest passions. And so my spirit is constantly renewed and refreshed when I'm around these vets. There's no self-pity, as you know,
right.
Randy. And these vets, Melissa Stockwell, who lost her leg in combat, has now got two children and went on to win the bronze medal in the Paralympics in Brazil, says on national TV, basically, sorry I lost my leg, but on the other hand, it made my life so different in many ways and so rich in many ways. That spirit that, that ought to embolden all Americans.
Well, and what's amazing, Mr. President, is the fact that these people, they lose a leg, they go back into combat.
Absolutely.
It's incredible.
Well, Kent Solenheim, who's on the cover of the book, we call him Captain America. He's a real handsome-looking guy. And he recently commanded a unit in Afghanistan, a special forces unit on one leg. He's probably the highest-ranking officer is Considine, who was a lieutenant colonel that took a bullet in the face and is now a motivational speaker.
Wow.
Wonderful, wonderful man. And then Kent, I think, is a major now. And but you're right. Most of the people in the book were sergeants or corporals, who volunteered to serve.
So you got your mountain bike. You're still doing the mountain biking, right?
Yes, I am. I'm particularly when I go down the ranch, which we try to get down there once a month. I ride a lot when I'm down there, and a lot of times these vets, if they're around, they'll come over and ride with me.
Is there any horseback riding at the ranch?
No, the mountain bike. You don't have to feed the mountain bike.
That's right. No hay burning. That's right. Well, I know that we've had people on the show before that do the equine therapy. And there's a game called horse soccer that you should get yourself involved in.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm a little too old to try some new dangerous sport.
I don't believe that.
Mountain biking satisfies my urge to act like a teenager. There's a lot of programs, by the way, outdoor programs that help these vets. And one of the things that comes out in this book, Profiles, Portraits of Courage, is that, mountain biking has or outdoor sports have been really effective at helping a vet get stabilized enough to be able to seek help and recover to the best extent possible.
As you know, Mr. President, many veterans in active duty that we had on the program always consider you their president, and I'm sure that's relayed to you many times.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate that a lot. The bond I established as president continues to be strong, and obviously to the extent I can help anybody, I want to do so.
So we're based in Kansas City, Missouri, and I hate to get into a controversial area such as barbecue, but, now that you're not the president, you can tell us, what you really think of, between Kansas City barbecue and Texas barbecue.
Well, let me just tell you this. On my 70th birthday, after riding for a couple hours with these vets, We didn't have Kansas City ribs. We had Texas barbecue ribs.
Well, listen, whenever, if you can't afford Kansas City ribs, we can send you some.
We're in pretty good shape down here. But you know, Randy, it's damn thoughtful of you.
You know what I'd love to do sometime, and I'll just go ahead and invite myself. I'd love to come down to the ranch, gather some of these folks that are featured in Portraits of Courage, and do a show on location with them and at the Busch Center. And if that's ever a possibility, we'd love to be there.
Well, my man Freddie, who helped me a lot in this book, is the person to contact. And you know, if possible, we'll get you down here and you can interview some of these guys.
Mr. President, thank you so much for the time. And thank
you. All right, Randy.
Thank you for shining the spotlight on veterans and our heroes.
Well, back at you. You're doing the same thing, and keep it up.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Randy.
We'll be right
Appreciate
back
it.
Here on the National Defense.
All right, welcome to F-150 Radio. Today, the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. Why? Eugene, go.
I think because Ford engineers always add new stuff, so the competition can't catch up.
Whoa, Eugene sounds like an expert.
Well, I got a store that sells exclusively bar-raising merchandise, like a calendar with an extra month.
An extra month?
Extrebuary. It has 32 days.
So you can appreciate the new 2018 F-150 raising the bar with available Bliss with trailer coverage. It monitors your trucks and your trailer's blind spots.
How about our new bar-raising poker chips? You can play with them or eat them. So,
the new 2018 F-150 raises the bar with auto start stop, standard on all engines, and an available 10-speed transmission.
We have sandals with available built-in socks.
And we are out of time.
Huge in Oregon.
This is the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar.
Driver assist features like Bliss are supplemental and do not replace the driver's attention, judgment, and the need to control the vehicle.
How do you thank the millions of men and women who have fought so bravely for our country over the years? At the Home Depot, we think it takes more than words. We believe the best way to show gratitude is to do gratitude. The Home Depot Foundation is committed to veterans and their families, improving their homes and their lives. Since 2011, we've invested $160 million to veteran causes and impacted over 26,000 veteran homes. By 2020, we'll grow that investment to $250 million. From simple wheelchair ramps to complete home makeovers, transitional housing, community support, we consider it a duty and a privilege to serve senior, wounded, and homeless veterans the best ways we know how. After all they've given us, it's the least we could do. $250 million by 2020. Doing more for veterans. Doing gratitude. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
Home is not just something you can see or touch. Home is a feeling. It's the place where you feel safe to have those little moments that mean everything. At ADT, we believe that feeling should always be there. Whether it's at your house or your business, we help keep you safe so you can have those moments that make you feel at home. Wherever you are.
Hey, this is Trace Atkins on the National Defense Radio Show, wishing everybody serving your families at home, everybody, very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
He's got a corner lot on Dogwood Drive. A year old truck and a 9-to-5 comes home at night to a pretty wife with a baby due. He'll sleep in on Saturday, cut the grass if it don't rain. After church, he'll watch the game and have a beer or two. He'll stand up when he hears the anthem, and that won't ever change. He's still a soldier. His blood runs red. For the news at 10, he'll see those places that he's been, and when a brother falls, there's a part of him that does too. And if they call and need get him back, all he'd be on that plane. He's still a soldier. His blood runs red, white, and blue. He put away his gun and boots, but he still believes the American dream. To his last breath,
with the truth, the national defense.
All right, F-150 Radio. Today, the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. Eugene.
Hey, I got a store that sells exclusively bar-raising merchandise, like a calendar with an extra month.
An extra month?
Extrabuary. It has 32 days.
Well, the new 2018 F-150 raises the bar with auto start-stop standard on all engines and an available 10-speed transmission.
How about tissues that blow your nose for you?
The new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar.
The Reuben is back at Subway with hot corned beef. Love that beef. Melted Swiss, gotta have cheese and sauerkraut. Woo! Thousand Island so creamy, all them freshly baked right. Oh my, it's all toasted and delicious. Mmm. So wrap it up. I'll take it. No, I don't need a receipt. Wrap it up. I'll take it. Oh, can I get chips and a drink? The Reuben is back for a limited time at Subway. So much Reuben.
Home is not just something you can see or touch. Home is a feeling. It's the place where you feel safe to have those little moments that mean everything. At ADT, we believe that feeling should always be there. Whether it's at your house or your business, we help keep you safe so you can have those moments that make you feel at home. Wherever you are.
How do you thank the millions of men and women who have fought so bravely for our country over the years? At the Home Depot, we think it takes more than words. We believe the best way to show gratitude is to do gratitude. The Home Depot Foundation is committed to veterans and their families, improving their homes and their lives. Since 2011, we've invested $160 million to veteran causes and impacted over 26,000 veteran homes. By 2020, we'll grow that investment to $250 million. From simple wheelchair ramps to complete home makeovers, transitional housing, community support, we consider it a duty and a privilege to serve senior, wounded, and homeless veterans the best ways we know how. After all they've given us, it's the least we could do. $250 million by 2020. Doing more for veterans. Doing gratitude. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing.